It's Gordo and the O-Deck, brought to us by Tylock George Eye Care.
Thank you, Craig. All right, I think this is slightly Idiocracy, but I also think this is pretty dang cool. There's a company launching a new tortilla chip.
Okay.
They claim...
Chocolate chip?
No. No. They claim it's the world's first 9-volt battery-flavored tortilla chip.
And you know what a 9-volt tastes like because you've tested them before.
Yes. Hasn't everybody tested 9 volts that way?
Yeah.
That's what you do. You touch the 9-volt to your tongue, both of the leads of it, and then that tells you how much of a charge it has.
Why would you want to enjoy a metallic Tostito?
I don't know. This is a Dutch company. They're called Rewind. And they say they are recreating the childish experience in a way that leaves the chips palatable. They said that was a challenging prospect for them when they started developing this chip. They say no battery components were harmed in the making of these chips.
Okay.
They just had to recreate it with food ingredients to give you the same taste. When you bite the chip, it's the same feeling you get when you touch your tongue to a battery. So it electrocutes your tongue.
Oh my God.
We now have created tortilla chips that electrocute your tongue for more kick-ass. The company, the Flavorist at Rewind, said we use a blend of citric acid and sodium bicarbonate to create the tongue-tingling effect. Balance it out with mineral salts, which gives the chips a metallic tang. The result is surprisingly tasty, and it's definitely a flavor that sparks curiosity. No pun intended, I'm sure. Rewind is a brand inspired by nostalgia, so we thought, what better way to launch but with one of the most nostalgic shared experiences? A delicious tribute to a weird universal memory that tastes just like those careless teenage afternoons. So I guess they're saying that kids, you should do the 9-volt thing as...
Just for kicks?
Yeah, for fun.
Okay.
And I don't remember doing it for fun. I remember it more in young adulthood when you're trying to install your first smoke detectors or...
Trying to figure out why your DI doesn't work. Maybe it's the battery.
Okay, let's see if Craig really identifies with this.
Your DI. Your door institution?
What? No. DI is the thing that you know, like an acoustic guitarist or a bass player will plug into at a show.
What's it stand for?
I want to say, you know, I don't know. I always thought it was direct input or direct injection.
Direct in, yeah.
Yeah, direct in.
Well, not only did I not know that, but I've never licked a 9-volt battery in my life.
Oh, you've never touched it to your tongue?
You need to do it today.
Well, you don't lick it. That's a little bit strong.
Just touch it.
I've never eaten a 9-volt battery in my life.
You basically, and I always have to brace for it. I'm always like real slow putting it up to my tongue. And
well, why would you
nervous?
Do that?
Because if you touch your tongue to both of the leads at the same time, there's a little, it's kind of like a sharp metallic taste if it's got a full charge. If it's a dead battery, you don't...
Well, why not just plug it in, see if it works or not?
Because you're trying to judge the strength of the charge that's in it. And if you're getting going into your drawer of junk and there's a few loose 9-volt batteries, mm-hmm. and you're so disorganized you don't know whether you threw in dead ones in there or whether those are live ones and you want to test them real quick, you can just touch it to your tongue.
Yeah.
Okay.
But it's not something that I ever have thought I want that on tortilla chips. So why they did it, I don't know. All right. Another sign here in the O-Deck as we observe the world, is this creepy, cool, or both? You guys remember the name Jim Acosta? He used to be on CNN?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, now he's a free-floating journalist.
Jim.
So he just kind of floats around above the ground about a foot and a half, just going, ooh, and trying to scare kids out of amusement parks. Well, he interviewed one of the kids who was killed at Parkland, that high school.
What?
Oh, in Florida?
About their experience. Yeah.
One of the kids that was killed.
Yeah.
Oh, before they were killed.
No, no, after. This is just recently. He just released his interview with this kid.
Okay. How did that work?
AI-generated kid with his voice cloned.
Really?
And so he interviews them about their experience and what happened to them and how they feel about being killed by a gun at school and whether or not that's a good thing or bad thing and whether or not we need to do something about it.
This kid's family was okay with that?
Yeah, this kid's family is the one who, I guess, commissioned this to be done and has... that kid and a few of the other kids who were killed had done robocalling campaigns, you know, AI-voiced robocalling, you know, calling their senators saying, hey, this is, you know, and then insert the kid's name. I was killed at Parkland, and I really want you to do this legislatively to prevent this from ever happening again. So they've been, the family has been using the AI kid to try to affect change. But it is weird when we start crossing over into now interviewers are going to be interviewing dead people. And I think we're going to get more used to this idea.
In this case, though, if a family, and I know there's been a lot of families who've been frustrated by this, that they feel like they just have made no ground in any sort of change, I don't have a problem with it.
Yeah, I think it's admirable. They're trying to do a good thing. It's just creepy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't blame the parents, but I think that I do start thinking as a news organization, I think you'd be like, you know what? I get what you're doing, and I think it could be very an effective piece to further your cause, but I don't know that we want to get involved in the let's cross the boundary into if somebody has a good reason to interview dead people, we can start putting forth the most realistic dead person possible, and it just keeps going and keeps going, and pretty soon it's going to be the way of the world is that you can interview dead people, and then we just kind of get used to, I watched the interview with dead Jim Morrison the other day, and I thought it was great, and it's, I don't know. To me, there's something destabilizing about it if we don't eventually get around to saying, you know what, let's not make everything crazy, but I think also the world is going that way. We're going to be
headed.
Doing it.
Yeah,
and and I'm sure that people who are okay with, you know, this dead kid being interviewed, you know, when, let's say when Trump passes away, he's an older man, we're just going to be content with having Trump around for forever and ever because he can be interviewed over and over again with his, you know, dead Trump AI. And then it'll be like, well, it doesn't matter that this is dead AI political figure or not, he's still just as powerful as ever, and then we're going to elect a dead present AI.
I mean,
it'll keep going. The Overton window will keep moving, and and it won't be, I guess, that crazy to us then. The way it sounds crazy when I'm just articulating it now. But yeah, we will eventually elect dead AI person.
Yes.
Because everyone loves dead AI person so much. And then then the demarcation of, well, I mean, he physically died. And that won't be that big of dividing line anymore in people's minds once we have digital presences that endure. Anyway.
Wow.
So that's a strange little story. And then finally, would you vote for Jeffrey Epstein to run your school district?
Well,
not the Jeffrey Epstein that we're all thinking about. I'm guessing this is a guy with the same name.
It is.
Oh, wow.
Oh,
and he has been, he served on two different school committees in Massachusetts. And now he's running for mayor of Framingham, Massachusetts. And there on the ballot, Jeffrey Epstein.
Wow.
Gosh. When that whole story broke, you think this guy hung his head going, oh, my God, I've got to deal with this for forever.
You got to at least go by Jeff.
Jeff, and then just go by Jeff Steen.
And maybe Epstein, you want to pronounce it differently, or
Jeff Epstein. You got to do something like that.
Yes.
Or go by a nickname, Magic.
And doesn't it, Magic Epstein?
No, just Magic.
And then doesn't it cause some people to just not vote for him, even if they know who he is and they know the story? This isn't the same guy.
I voted early vote.
But you just feel uncomfortable. Because then you have to answer the question if somebody asks you, hey, who'd you vote for a mayor there in Framingham? I voted for a candidate. Well, yeah, which candidate? It was a candidate that I felt good about.
It's personal.
It's very personal. Votes are very personal. So there you go. A little observation of our world.